let's begin here at First Epistle of John, chapter 3, and verse 8. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. 1 Epistle of John chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And then it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In other words, Jesus came for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The Amplified says, the reason the Son of God was made manifest, which is to say, the reason he was sacrificed, was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done. In other words, to dissolve and reverse the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Every misery that came into the human race is part of the work of the devil. Every curse that came on the earth and on creation and on humanity, that is the work of the devil. So every work of the devil, every work that came through the first Adam by the devil has been overcome and defeated in the second Adam. Every work has been defeated. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we get a clock going? Every work of the enemy has been defeated. Jesus came to restore all things in every arena. He came to restore all things, and the sacrifice of Christ restores all things and reverses the curse. For that reason, it says in John chapter 17 and verse 4 and 5, Jesus says, Father, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world began. He says, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. So let it be as it was before the world began. Let it be as it were before the world began. And then in John 19:30, on the cross, just before Jesus gave up the ghost, and what did he say? He said, it is finished. It is finished. What is finished? What is finished? What is finished? Everything that came into the human race and into the earth because of the fall, Jesus had fully paid the price to reverse it and to cancel it all. Everything that was needful, that was needed to restore God's original plan, is what was finished. In Colossians 1 verse 20, it says, through the blood of his cross, he has reconciled everything to himself. Through the blood of his cross, he has purchased and restored peace. What does that mean? Through the blood of his cross and his sacrifice, he has restored everything to God's original intent, to God's original plan, to how it would have been if there was no fall. He has restored everything to how it was before any fall took place, according as God had intended from before the foundation of the world. So you see, what the devil did in the first Adam, God superseded that in the second Adam and has reversed what the devil did in the first Adam. God has reversed it in the second Adam. In other words, the sacrifice of Christ and what was accomplished by the sacrifice of Christ is far greater than what was accomplished by the devil in the fall of the first Adam. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, the chastisement of our peace. Everything that was needed for peace, for wholeness, for things to be reconciled to God's original intent, that chastisement, all that was needful to obtain that total, perfect peace was upon him. and he paid the price. Say, all things are restored. Now that the sacrifice of Christ is complete and it is finished, the scripture says Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Because that sacrifice is finished, Jesus expects that by the power of his life in us and flowing through us, he expects that we will reign. He expects that you and I will have dominion. He expects that you and I will execute his counsel. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, that the very intent of God in bringing us into this fellowship, into the mystery of this fellowship, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, Ephesians 3:10 says it was for this intent, that unto the principalities and powers would be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So God is expecting, because the sacrifice of Christ is finished, that you and I will so function in the reality of who we are and who Christ is in us, that all the works of the enemy that Jesus destroyed, that we will enforce his victory on the enemy. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, what is this sacrifice that has been completed? As I've said before, and I will repeat, there are 8 distinct aspects to the sacrifice. And so here are those 8 aspects of the sacrifice in a nutshell. After Jesus was, number 1, crucified, what happened? Number 2, he was buried. Then what? Number 3, he was resurrected. And then number 4, he ascended to the Father's right hand. Number 5, what did he do? He presented his blood on the mercy seat, having obtained an eternal redemption for you and I that are born again. And then number 6, we now, as a result of all of that, have the very life of Christ himself in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then number 7, we have the authority of Jesus. We have the authority of the name of Jesus. Him, Christ, that is living in us. That name. That is number 7. And number 8, we have the word of God. What do you mean the word of God? We have the written word. We have what God has spoken, what God is speaking, because he's speaking in us and through us. And we have the very promises of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So these are the 8 aspects of the sacrifice of Christ: crucifixion, burial, resurrection, ascension, his blood, his life, his name, and the word of God. Now, here is what is important for us to recognize. The reason that Jesus did all of that, why did he do all of that? Why? For this purpose. So that now he can live his life in you and through you for the very purpose of bringing fulfillment to everything God spoke about you for before the foundation of the world. Christ is in you to cause to come into manifestation everything concerning you and to fulfill the counsels and the purposes of God in the name of Jesus. Amen? All right. So here is the is what Corinthians called the hidden wisdom of God. The hidden wisdom of God that was ordained from before the foundation of the world for our glory. What is this hidden wisdom? The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 and 8, there is this hidden wisdom that God had ordained for your glory and for my glory from before the foundation of the world. And had the enemy known it, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because you see, him crucifying Christ, what has happened is that now Christ is not only resurrected and ascended with all power and all might and all authority, but that very Christ is now alive in you and I and is living through us. Colossians 2 verse 12 says that how God placed us in Christ, and we were buried with Christ by baptism unto death. By the faith of the operation of God, God placed us in Christ and raised us up together with Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this was part of the hidden wisdom, that you and I would be placed in Christ, be buried with Christ, crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ, and have a new life, which is the very life of Christ. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, that's what it's talking about. It says, know ye not that of many of you, as were baptized into Christ, you were also baptized into his death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, you and I were also raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Therefore, we ought to walk in the newness of life. We ought to walk and live as those have been resurrected with Christ, and we ought to reign. Because of this abundance of grace and this gift of righteousness, we ought to reign in this life. So you and I have a fellowship, a share, and a participation in this mystery. This mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. This hidden wisdom of God. We have a share in it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, basically Paul says, look, God called me, he anointed me, and this was the message he gave me. This is my assignment, to make known among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is their fellowship in this mystery, what is their part and their share in this mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is your part and your share in this sacrifice? So that once we come awake and we come to the understanding and the revelation of that, what will happen is that God can now, through us, make known unto the principalities and powers his manifold wisdom, according as he had designed it from before the foundation of the world, so that we now have boldness and access with confidence to the enemy. We have boldness and access to God. We have boldness and access in dealing with people. We have boldness and access in every situation and any circumstance because of that finished work of Christ and the fellowship and the part that we have in his sacrifice. And we have all of this access by the very faith of Christ. And I was just quoting from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 through to 12. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this hidden mystery, what is it all about? You and I, the old man, with all of his history, with all of his sickness, with all of his disease, with all of his curse, with all of his human identity and limitations, and with all of his baggage, all of that died with Christ. Died with Christ in his death. Therefore, those things from the old man are no longer to rule your life. They are no longer to dominate or even have a voice. That is the reason why sickness and disease is not supposed to reign over you and I anymore. Because Jesus bore it in his own body and he put an end to it in his death. But you see, it is by faith that we possess these things. These things are done in the realm of the spirit. These things exist in God. But what happened is that we got to call it into manifestation by faith. Faith calls those things that be not as though they are. Faith calls what is finished. Faith believes what is said, believes what is done, believes and speaks and declares and decrees, and then it causes it to be made manifest. So in the realm of the spirit, by Jesus' death, the rule of sickness, disease, and everything else that is out from the old man came to an end. Hallelujah. We are talking about how does this healing work? Because of the sacrifice of Christ and through the sacrifice of Christ. So the old man was crucified. He was buried with Christ, number one. Number two, he was also buried with him. The burial in and of itself is a confirmation that the old man and everything associated with him is indeed finished. You know, it's one thing for somebody to be dead, but it's another thing to bury them. You bury them to get rid of the body. Amen? So what happened? That old man was crucified, but he was also buried, and that burial is an indication that this is final. Everything connected with him no longer is to rule over you. In other words, it has come to an end. All things are passed away, dead and buried. Number three, what else is this hidden wisdom of God, your part in the sacrifice? You were resurrected with Christ. You were resurrected to all that Christ is and all that Christ has. When God gave you Jesus, he also gave you all things. So in that resurrection, you are raised up with Christ, and all that Christ is yours. All that Christ has is yours. You are joint heir with him. You are an heir of God. That is why you resurrected to this awesome inheritance, which includes healing, divine health. All things have passed away, yes, but all things have become new, and all things are now of God. All things are now of God. All things are of God, and all things are new. Hallelujah. Number four, what is this association? What is this share? What is this participation that you have in the sacrifice of Christ? Here is number four. You ascended with Christ, and you are made to sit with him, in him, at the Father's right hand. That's where you and I are seated. This is now your position. And when we recognize that position, from that position, you can change any earthly condition. But you got to know your position. You got to know who you are. You got to know where you're seated. You are above only and not beneath. That means sickness and disease, devils and demons, they are all below you. So you are superior to them, and therefore you are to reign over them. That is what Romans 5 verse 17 says. By one man offense, death came by one. But much more, they that have received abundance of grace and have received the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life by virtue of that one Christ Jesus and what he has finished. So you see here, in ascension, when you are ascended up and you are made to sit together with Christ, in Christ, at the Father's right hand, in that place of ascension, you receive an inheritance which is which includes all the blessings, because you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. It includes the authority of the name of Jesus. It includes power. It includes healing. It includes it all, divine favor. Amen. Hallelujah. And then number five. This association, this participation, this hidden wisdom of God, you having a part in everything that Jesus finished in his sacrifice. Number five, you have a common union with the blood of Christ. And that blood plants you in the new everlasting covenant, which is also called the covenant of peace in Isaiah 54 verse 10. That is the covenant where everything is reconciled to God. That covenant that now makes you, that blood that makes you righteous, makes you justified so that you can be just as if sin has never been. No guilt, no shame, no condemnation, no sense of insecurity or inferiority. And then number six, what has happened as a result of your participation in this sacrifice? You have a new name. You have the very name and the very authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus is now part of your inheritance. You are resurrected, born again, and born again to a living hope and to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. And that includes the name of Jesus. The scripture says in Hebrews 1 verse 4, how that Jesus, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name. That name belongs to you. And by that name, you reign over sickness, over disease, over poverty, over lack, over confusion, over all the works of the enemy. You now, and then number seven, you now have the very life of Christ. Because you see, in the sacrifice, there was a life exchange that take place. Where Jesus took your old fallen life and gave you his life. You were crucified with him, but nevertheless you now live, and you now have the life of Christ, and you live it by the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2 verse 20. For that reason, Colossians 1 27 says, Christ is now in you, the hope of glory. That is the mystery. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. He is in you, the hope of glory. Now he is the hope of glory for you, but he is the hope of glory that is in you for the whole world and for all of creation. This whole earth is to be covered with the glory of the Lord as water covered the sea. Jesus came to bring many sons to glory. Well, Hebrews 2 verse 10. So Christ in you is the hope of glory, not just for you, but for your family, for your city, for the entire world, for even all of creation. The scripture says creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God so that they too can come out of that corruption and come into the liberty of the sons of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 19 and 20. Say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the very life of Christ. And everything bows to the life and the nature of Christ that is in you, including sickness and disease. And then number 8, you are made a partaker of the word of God and the promises of God. Christ is in you, and he is giving you divine utterance. The Holy Spirit is bringing to your remembrance what God has spoken, the word of God. The promises of God are alive in you, unveiling that divine nature that is on the inside of you. We have received great and precious promises, that by these you might be a partaker of the divine nature. You see, those promises reveal the very divine nature that is in you, the divine nature that God has, and that nature is in you. And part of that nature is God is a healer. I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10 speaks about when Christ in you appears. When Christ in you appears, when he is unveiled, he brings life and immortality to light through the gospel. Life and immortality to light. He causes that to be made manifest through the gospel. Life and immortality. I don't know if that has got to be freedom from sickness and disease. Hallelujah. So how does this stuff work? As I'm indicating, you've got to know what are these aspects of the sacrifice. See how it applies to healing. And then you got to mix your faith with it, so as to cause the manifestation of this healing that is already yours. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the sacrifice. I am not ashamed of Christ in me, the hope of glory. I am not ashamed of that sacrifice, because it is the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. But our word salvation comes from a Greek word soteria, and it means healing, deliverance, wholeness, preservation, prosperity. So the sacrifice is the power of God unto healing and wholeness. To who? To anyone that believes. You got to believe on Jesus. You got to believe the word of God. You've got to take the gospel and mix it with believing, mix it with faith. The scripture says in Hebrews 4 verse 2, that the gospel preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. These wonderful truths about what Jesus has finished and about the various aspects of the sacrifice of Christ that delivers us from sickness and disease, these wonderful, awesome truths, they produce in your life, but you must mix it with faith. You must mix it with believing. You must mix it with your speaking. Otherwise, even though it's established in heaven, you don't get it established on earth. That is why it is done in God. It is done in the realm of the spirit. But you got to call those things into manifestation. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Abraham, who called those things that be not as though they were. You got to call them into manifestation. The just shall live by faith. The righteous, those that are the righteousness of God in Christ, shall live by faith. They will have the life of God fulfilled and manifested by faith. They are going to enjoy the life that God has for them. How? By faith. So here you are. You've got the life of God, the life of Christ in your born-again spirit. But in order to manifest it, in order to enjoy it, the just shall live by faith, by believing, by speaking, by ordering his conversation in line with the truth. It is the truth acted upon that makes you free. Hallelujah. You shall know the truth, act upon the truth, and the truth brings freedom, liberty. John chapter 8 and verse 32. Amen? Hallelujah. So the gospel, the sacrifice, when you mix it with faith, equals what? Healing. But you got to mix it. So these 8 aspects of healing that we've been talking about, and we covered some of it last week, and we're going to finish it up today. These eight aspects, you have to mix it with faith. And in each of these aspects, the healing, your healing is present. It's there. You got to unveil it. For instance, number one, we talked about death. How the fact that in death, Jesus bore your sicknesses, carried your infirmities. Matthew 8, verse 17. And by his stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2, 24. And Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Jesus hung up on the cross and he became a curse and redeemed you from the curse of the law. So we know that in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened? He delivered you from, he redeemed you from sickness, from disease. He delivered you from every curse. So what do you, do? You declare no sickness, disease, or curse is allowed to operate in my body. It is unlawful by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am set free. It was slain. It was defeated. And by his stripes I'm healed. You declare that. You mix faith with the truth concerning his death. And then so it is with the burial. The burial, like I said before, is the confirmation that everything he finished in his death is indeed finished. So you declare that that curse of sickness, of disease, of pain and symptoms, you are dead and you are buried in Christ. I'm over you. You got no right in my life. Go in the name of Jesus. That's a good word. Learning to say go in Jesus' name. Get out of my body in Jesus' name. You see, as a believer, you got to know how to talk. God has given you a mouth and your mouth shall deliver you. Proverbs 12 and verse 6. God has given you words, and those words are to serve you. Those words, when you take God's word and you put it in your mouth, it brings healing. It brings deliverance. Hallelujah. So death and burial, we cover those. Now, let's continue and let's talk about resurrection. Let's talk about the resurrection, the fact that you were resurrected with Christ, and what are the implications of that where your healing is concerned. Now, I'm going to say a few things about resurrection that are of tremendous importance because it is the very essence of the life that you now live. Not the life you used to live, because that old man was crucified and it's no longer you that live, but it's Christ that lived in you and you've been resurrected, and that resurrection life has everything to do with your identity and how you live. Amen. So let's talk about that for a minute. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. He's gotten us born again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You have been born again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, what you need to know, you must know, is that the old life and that old self has been crucified, dead, and buried. Romans 6, verse 11 is going to tell you, you need to reckon yourself to be dead indeed. You've got to reckon that this is how it is. That old life, that old self has been crucified with Christ and buried. And now I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. You have got to make that recognition and that identification. Everything is now new and of God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18. And you have got to recognize this is how it is. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I here, but it is Christ that liveth in me. And this life that I now live, it's the life of Christ. And I live it by the faith of the Son of God. This new life, this righteousness, this oneness that I now have with God in Christ, this authority, all of that, it is mine and this is how it is. But it's not because of me and my goodness or anything that I did. It is because Jesus was crucified. He was slain. He was sacrificed. And so you make that identification. You absolutely must. No matter what you face, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10 and 11 says, you must always live in that identification that it's no longer you, but it's Christ that lives in you. And as you do so, the very life of Christ that is in you will be made manifest. And when the life of Christ is made manifest in your mortal body, it drives out sickness and disease. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10 and 11. So your new life, which is the real you, it began in resurrection. You were born again by resurrection to this new and living hope. This is when this is the origin, your new life, this new creation originated in resurrection. So don't make the identification with your past, with your history, with your background, and all of that. No, you have a new life. It is the life of Christ. And the hope that you are born again to is Christ himself. You are born again to Christ himself. He is your hope. You are born again to living hope. That living hope is Christ. But let me tell you some more about what it is you're born again to. You are born again to the hope and to the dreams that God has for you. You are born again and all that God had planned and ordained and had spoken about you from before the foundation of the world, you are now born again to it all. Hallelujah. And what God has ordained for you is not sickness and disease. It's divine health. It is redemption. Christ is made unto you redemption. When God gave you Jesus, he gave you all things. So this is what you're born again to. You have a heavenly hope, Colossians 1:5, that is reserved in heaven for you. Hallelujah. But you got to call it into manifestation by faith. So this is your new and your true identity. You have got to own this completely. I cannot emphasize this enough. You have got to make this identification and own it. That this is your new life. Because you see, this is the power. The power in your life is not your medical degree. It is not your history and your background. It is not your genealogy. It is not any of those things. The power of God in your life is Christ. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, I determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. Why? That is the power of God. And Paul says, when I came, I didn't come with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but I came in demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. I came with me crucified, not me here, but Christ being in me. And I came in that manner, and I came and I demonstrated it, so that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that power of God is Christ in you. The power of God is the gospel. It is the sacrifice. That is the power of God. Not anything else. It's not anything else that moves the enemy. Hallelujah. So you've got to make that identification. This is the newness of life that is talked about. That you are to live in the newness of life. That you are to live in resurrection power. You are to live as one that has been raised up together with Christ. You are to have your heart anchored in this resurrection life. Hallelujah. Now here is why this is so critical. If you do not make this identification, and if you do not get a hold of this understanding, what will happen is that your Christian life will be a revolving door of sinning and being forgiven. You see, many, I sin and I forget forgiven, and I'm living in that realm rather than, and I'm living in that realm of sin consciousness and separation from God rather than being awake to righteousness, awake to who you really are, awake to your authority, awake to your position, awake to your seating, awake to the fellowship that you have with God, awake to the fact that you are above only, above all principality and powers. You lose sight of those things, and then what happens is your lifestyle and your speaking and your communication becomes one of sin consciousness, where you're talking, cast me not away from your presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And it sounds good, but God says he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. Jesus says, when the Comforter comes, the Holy Spirit that I will send, he will be with you forever. So for you to say, take not your Holy Spirit from me, is to disrespect and to dishonor the power of the new covenant and what Jesus has done and this promise of the Spirit that is now yours. Cast me not away from your presence. God says you live here. You have been raised up together with Christ. It says in Hebrews 10 and verse 20 that this is the new and living way that has been consecrated for you in the very throne room of God, in the very person of Christ. In him you live and move and have your being. Your life is hid with Christ in God. But if you do not have the clarity and the understanding and the reality that this is my life, I am resurrected with him. If you don't have that clearly, this is the newness of life, and your heart anchored in resurrection, then you become susceptible to that way of thinking. And then your emotions end up being triggered and influenced by voices of the past, voices of humanity, what somebody said, this, that, and the other, what happened to me in the past, and those things, and your emotions begin to rule you and dominate you. Instead of you being in the place where old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. You are in this place where you're thinking, this is impossible, this is impossible, this is too hard, I can't do this, I can't do that, when in fact you ought to be thinking, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. All things are possible to me that believe. I am in covenant with the Lord God Almighty, and he is my sufficiency. All that he is, all that he has, it is accessible to me. In covenant with him, he is my life. He is my light. He is my salvation. He is my strength. He is my rejoicing. He is my hope. He is all that he is, I am. I am who I am, says I am. And all that God is accessible to me. I am a son of the living God. This day has he begotten me. He is my father. I am his child. And he has told me, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. Psalms 2 verse 7 and 8. Are you with me? All grace, he says, he will abound towards you. Instead of thinking that way, you will be thinking insufficiency. You will be thinking lack. You will be thinking weakness. The scripture says, let them that are weak say they are strong. But you can't think and talk that way if you don't have the reality and the revelation that you of resurrection life. This is who I am. This is where my heart is anchored. The reality of resurrection is that you have a new identity. And Galatians 3:28 says, you're no longer male or female or bond or free. You've been baptized into Christ. You have put on Christ. You have been redeemed out of every tongue, out of every people group. You have been redeemed out of every nation, out of every ethnic definition. You have been redeemed out of culture. Those things are not what define you. Hallelujah. And you are a king and you are a priest unto God. And where the word of a king is, there is power. So there is power and authority in your word. Ecclesiastes 8:4. The kingdom of God is within you, and that kingdom rules over all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, the exceeding greatness of his power. Hallelujah. So what are we talking about? We are talking about the reality of the implication of resurrection on your life. The reality of that resurrection and how you appropriate it in the realm of healing. By the authority of resurrection, my body is now the temple of God. My body is now the body of Christ. And God is to be glorified in my body. Therefore, no sickness is permitted in his temple. No sickness is permitted in my body. Ephesians 5 verse 23 says, he is the savior of his body. Ephesians 5 verse 30, I am a member of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. I am the healed of the Lord. Divine healing and health belongs to me. Sickness, go from me in the name of Jesus. You are unlawful. I am the healed. I am the redeemed. I am the ransomed of God. Amen? There is power in resurrection, but it is a power that comes from knowing. And then number four, How do you apply ascension? Well, Ephesians 2 verse 6 says, God had raised us up together with Christ. When he raised up Christ, he raised us up. And he made us sit together with him. And Ephesians 1, 3 says, and in that place of ascension, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. This is where you now live. You have resurrection anchored in your heart. But where do you live? You live in the place of ascension. Hebrews 10 verse 19 and 20 says, you have entered into this place through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You enter boldly into the throne of his grace before the Holy Father God through the blood, in whose sight, Colossians 1, 22, you are holy, without blame and without fault. You enter into his presence through the veil of Jesus' flesh that was torn. By a new and a living way, a new way, a place that you are now to live, that he has consecrated. That's in him, in his body. Before the holiest of holies. This is where you live. You live in this place of ascension. Colossians 3 verse 3. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. This is where you live. So set your affection on the things which are above, not on the things which are beneath. For this is where your life is hid. Say ascension. Ascension. This is where you live. This is where your new life is. This is, you live here. You don't just visit. This is where you speak from. Philippians 3:20 says, let your conversation be in heaven. This is your true identity. 1 John 4:17 says, herein is the love of God made perfect, that you might have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are you in this world. Christ himself is your life, Colossians 3, 4. In the life of the ascended Christ, that's your identity. That's where you live. This is your nature. Christ is in you. His nature is your nature. You function in him. You function in him. Hebrews 10, verse 14 says, by that one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's your born-again spirit, perfected forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the thing is, in ascension, this is where you speak from. This is how you function. This is the nature you have, is the nature of Christ. Your life is, this is where your life is. Glory. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm just going to read this. It gives you a superiority, a superiority mindset. It doesn't mean you're looking down on anyone, but you're thinking soberly as you ought to think, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to those of you who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, that is far, far above all principality, powers, devil, demons, dominions. And given him a name which is above every name. Every name, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And has placed all things under his feet. Well, we are his body. The feet is connected to the body. Has placed all things under his feet, that's under you. Remember, you're above only. And had given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So in this place of ascension, you have got the mindset of Christ. You have got a mindset of above only and not beneath. You have got a mindset of superiority. You're superior to sickness, to disease. You've got a name that is above every name. You've got to have this, because you see, it's from this place that you will declare, that you will decree, that you will command, that you will bind. It is from this place that you will function. And then there is the blood, number 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21 says that it speaks about it as the blood of the everlasting covenant. And it makes you perfect for every good work to do his will. What does that mean? That blood makes you perfect. That blood equips you for every good work. In other words, there is all kinds of equipping for you that comes through the blood so that you can do the work, whether it be the work of healing or any other work. There is an equipping and a perfecting power that comes through the blood for you to do every good work and to fulfill his will, God's will. So that blood has power for your healing, to do the work of healing, for ministering. That blood is all, healing is always the will of God. So the blood is there for that reason. All that God is, he is to you and for you by virtue of the blood covenant. All that God is, all that is in God, all that he is Jehovah Jireh, he is provider, he is defense, he's a high tower, he's a strengthener, he's a lifter up of your head, he wipes out shame, he is a healer. All that he is to you by the virtue of that blood covenant. No wonder the blood covenant equips you for every good work, because the very power and the grace and the enablement of God himself becomes yours. That is why in another place, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, it says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Meaning, be strong in the sufficiency, in the enablement, in the empowerment that is supplied by God himself. Our sufficiency is of God. The blood connects you with God. Access, so that you're able to access all that is in God. The everlasting covenant. When the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, the scripture says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The death angel will pass over you. The sickness angel will pass over you. The blood silences sickness and disease. It breaks the power of every generational curse. It breaks the power of those things that are sometimes called hereditary. It runs in the family. No, you decide, I do not accept this hereditary stuff. Not in my life, because the blood breaks the power of that curse off of me. I have received a blood transfusion from Calvary. The blood of the Lord Jesus is what runs inside of me. I've got a new bloodline. And you take that blood, put it in your mouth, and you declare, I am not accepting any hereditary diagnosis or label in the name of Jesus. And you break every curse in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. God has found himself a ransom. Jesus is the ransom. Job 33 and verse 24. So put the blood in your mouth. The blood speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood has a voice. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. And then number 6, there's the name of Jesus. The name which is above every name. And at that name, every knee bows. That name brings deliverance. That name heals. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That name brings salvation. Jesus says, in my name you will cast out devils. It delivers. And you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You use that name. He says, is there any sick among you? Then let them call for the elders of the church. And let them anoint him with oil. And let them pray over him in the name of the Lord. And if he had committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. And God will heal him. Healing is in that name. Deliverance is in that name. Praise God. So we put that name in our mouth. There is life. It says in John 20 verse 31, there is life through that name. Life, healing, deliverance through that name. And then number 7, Christ, the life of Christ. Christ himself in you, the hope of glory. That life of Christ brings forth. You see, the reason why Christ is not only in you, but he is to live through you, 1 John 4:9, is for the purpose that he might bring fulfillment to everything God has spoken concerning you. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10 and 9, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 and 10, that's what it says. According as God has saved you, and he had called you with a holy calling, and he has given you purpose and grace that was not according to your works, But it was according as he had chosen you from before the foundation of the world, and that, but that it comes into manifestation at the appearing of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? When Christ in you becomes unveiled, then here comes the grace. Here comes the purpose. Here comes the fulfillment of what God has spoken, what he had called and chosen concerning you. Here comes the fulfillment of the saving, the salvation, the deliverance, the healing. It is that, you see, when the life of Christ inside of you flows, everything that is contrary has to bow. That nature of Christ rules everything. Hallelujah. So what do you do with that? Romans chapter 5 verse 10 says that, let me read it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 says, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. But much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved. More accurately, now being reconciled, we are saved by his life. And the word save includes healing. So now that you are reconciled, now that you belong to God, you are now that you are healed, and now that you are reconciled to God, you are being healed, present continuously by that life, by his life that is in you. No wonder Romans 8 verse 10 says that yet your spirit is life because of righteousness. And the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead quickens your mortal body. So you are being healed all the time. Right now as we're speaking, that healing power flows out of your spirit. And you are being healed by that life of Christ in you. Now that is the truth, but you got to mix it with faith. How are you going to mix it with faith? You got to believe it and speak it. Believe what? Speak what? You got to believe and you got to speak that healing life of Christ, that is healing flowing out of the life of Christ 24 hours a day in every part of my being. You got to say something such as, the life of Christ is flowing in me right now like a river. It's restoring my body with every breath that I breathe and every word that I speak. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, one of my favorite confessions that I like to say, if you feel a little pain, you feel a little anything, one of the things that I will quickly say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your divine healing power flowing into my body. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Thank you, Lord. Your divine healing power is flowing in my joints. It's flowing in my organs. It's flowing in my kidneys. Thank you, Lord. Your divine healing power gives me whatever it is. And just keep declaring that divine healing power is flowing. Where is it flowing from? In you, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Where is it flowing from? That same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead quickens your mortal body. Where is it flowing from? Your spirit is life because of righteousness. And he saves. He who has reconciled you heals you by his life that is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, hallelujah. There's resurrection power right there. And then finally, there is the word of God and the promises of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 2 to 4. It says, God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him. And then it goes on to say that he's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these promises you might partake of his divine nature. So you see, the promises of God, what do they do? The promises of God, number one, reveals what you already have. The promises of God is not to tell you, oh, God wants to do this or God wants to do that. The promises of God is what God has spoken. The promises of God reveals what is already settled in heaven. So, and everything, and you, when God give you Jesus, he also give you all things. So all things are yours. It is finished. You are already blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly place. Now, Philippians, Philemon verse 6 says that your faith will work when you acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ. In other words, your faith will work, it will produce when you acknowledge what you already have, when you acknowledge that healing is yours, when you acknowledge that healing power lives in the inside of you, when you acknowledge that by his stripes I'm healed. So the promises of God, what is it doing? The promises of God reveals what you already have. That's number one. Number two, the promises of God also reveals the nature of God. it reveals not just, it reveals that what God's desire to see fulfilled in your life. In other words, you see a scripture that says, my God shall supply all my need. That scripture is saying, God is saying, I yearn, and this is my passion and desire that all your needs be met. I wish above all things you might prosper and be in health. God is saying, I yearn. This is my nature, to see you completely whole. So the promises reveal the nature of God, but the promises also reveal that nature is, that is in you. By these you are a partaker of the divine nature. It reveals what nature you have in you. You have the healer living on the inside of you. And then the promises have a very practical aspect of showing you how to function, what you are to do. By these promises, you can take the part of the divine nature that you need. By the promises, you can take whatever that part is. You study the promises, and it will tell you how to do it. For instance, Proverbs chapter 4, reading from verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my word. Incline your ear unto my saying. Get it in the midst of your heart. Don't let them depart from your eyes. They are health to those that find them. They are medicine to all of your flesh. And then it says, get a hold of it. Out of your heart comes the issues of life. So guard your heart with all diligence. Watch your mouth. Don't let garbage get into your heart. So when you read that, it will tell you that you need to get a hold of the word of God. Write those scriptures down. Make some confessions. Keep it before your eyes. Stick it on the fridge. Get it into your eyes. Don't look at anything else, but look at what the word of God says. Look at what Jesus has finished. And then which means you got to meditate on the word. And then it says, get it into your heart. Keep hearing it. Keep hearing it. Keep speaking it so it can become rooted in your heart. And then it says, guard your heart, because you don't want garbage, resentment, unbelief, unforgiveness, and all that kind of stuff, hatred, to get into your heart. So guard your heart. Don't talk wrong. And then it says, and as you do those things, what will happen? That word will become health to all your flesh. That word will become the healing that you need. Hallelujah. Amen? So the word of God and the promises of God, the written word, the spoken word, and the promises of God are there for you to get a hold of your healing. It says in Psalms 107, verse 20, God says, I sent my word and I healed them and I delivered them from their oppression. So there is a snapshot. So when you take the various aspects of the sacrifice of Christ and you mix them with faith, what will happen? Healing is the result. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto healing for everyone that believes.